Paul Cable sat hunched forward at the edge of the pine shade, his boots crossed and his elbows supported on his knees. He put the field glasses to his eyes again, and 400 yards down the slope, the two-story adobe was brought suddenly, silently before him. This was the store. It was Denneman's. It was a plain, tan-pink southern Arizona adobe with a wooden loading platform, but no Ramada to hold off the sun. It was the only general supply store from Hidalgo north to Fort Buchanan. And until the outbreak of the war, it had been a Hatch and Hodges swing station. The store was familiar, and it was good to see, because it meant Cable and his family were almost home. Martha was next to him. The children were close by. They were anxious to be home after 2.5 years away from it. But the sight of a man Cable had never seen before, a man with one arm, had stopped them. He stood on the loading platform facing the empty sunlight of the yard, staring at the willow trees that screened the river close beyond the adobe, his right hand on his hip, his left sleeve tucked smoothly, tightly into his waist. Above him, the faded, red-lettered Denneman's Store inscription extended the full width of the adobe's double doors. Cable studied the man. There was something about him. Perhaps because he had only one arm. No, Cable thought then. That made you think of the war, the 2.5 years of it. But you felt something before you saw he had only one arm. Then he realized it was the habit of surviving, formed during 2.5 years of war. The habit of not trusting any movement he could not immediately identify. The habit of not walking into anything blindly. He had learned to use patience and weigh alternatives, and to be sure of a situation before he acted. As sure as he could be in his own mind. Now Cable's glasses moved over the wind-scarred face of the adobe, following the one-armed man's gaze to the grove of willows and the river hidden beyond the hanging screen of branches. A girl came out of the trees carrying a bucket, and Cable said, "There's Luz again. Here." He handed the glasses to his wife, who was kneeling, sitting back on her legs, one hand raised to shield her eyes from the sun glare. Martha Cable raised the glasses. After a moment, she said, "It's Luz Acaso. But still, it doesn't seem like Luz." "All of a sudden, she's a grown-up woman," Cable said. "She'd be 18 now." "No," Martha said. "It's something else. Her expression, the way she moves." Through the glasses, the girl crossed the yard leisurely. Her eyes were lowered and did not rise until she reached the platform and started up the steps. When she looked up, her face was solemn and warm brown in the sunlight. Martha remembered Luz's knowing eyes and her lips that were always softly parted, ready to smile or break into laughter. But now she wore an expression of weariness. Her eyes went to the man on the platform, then away from him quickly as he glanced at her, and she passed into the store. "She's tired or ill," Martha thought, "or afraid." "She went inside?" Cable asked. The glasses lowered briefly and Martha nodded. "But he's still there. Cable, for some reason, I think she's afraid of him."
"Maybe."
He watched Martha concentrating on the man on the platform. "But why, if Denneman's there?"
"If he's there," Martha said,
"where else would he be?"
"I was going to ask the same question."
"Well, let's take it for granted he's inside."
"And Manuel?"
She was referring to Luz's brother.
"Manuel could be anywhere."
Martha was still watching the man on the platform, studying him so that an impression of him would be left in her mind. He was a tall man, heavy-boned, somewhat thin, with dark hair and mustache. He was perhaps in his late 30s. His left arm was off between the shoulder and the elbow.
"I suppose he was in the war," Martha said.
"Probably."
Cable nodded thoughtfully.
"But which side?"
"That's something," Cable said to himself. "You don't trust him. Any man seen from a distance you dislike and distrust. It's good to be careful. But you could be carrying it too far." Briefly, he thought of John Denneman, the man who had given him his start 10 years before,
and talked him into settling in the Saber River Valley. It'd be good to see John again. And it would be good to see Luz, to talk to her and Manuel. His good friend, Manuel.